Actually, if you want, you can be praying. I don't know if anybody has read the rest of Luke 17. I get confused in the wording, and it gets like some things are questionable for me, so I'd rather not share yet. Not that I'll ever get to the end of it, and maybe the Lord will share me what they share through it, and we'll go through it. But as I've been just doing my devotions and stuff, one of the things the Lord's really laying on my heart is it's His will. And I just want to talk about one aspect of the Lord's will today, and that's sanctification. And I know we're not going to get like super in depth into it, but actually I think it will be enough. But it says in Colossians, Paul's telling us that Epaphras went to them, took them a letter, and it says that Epaphras is always praying for the believers that they might be able to stand perfect in the will of God. And so, I think it's, people are praying, I think we all talk about walking in the will of God, understanding the will of God, and trying to walk through and walk all these things out, and sometimes maybe not feeling like you measure up, feel distracted, feeling whatever. But I think if we go through His Word, He can help us. But when we talk about going through and asking yourself, what is the will of God? I think it's good to start with, what does it mean? What does the word will even mean? I think it's important to know what that...
The scripture says, the will of God is this, to believe in the one who sent.
Okay. Yep, that's part of it. Well, that's the main purpose. Anything else? When it talks about saying to understand the will of God, what is even just the will, the definition of the will? So you even understand what that even means? I mean, we say these words all the time, but do we really understand what it means? What is your will? You know, when we talk about definitions, and I'm sorry, I have to understand these things because it makes me at least understand the word a little bit better. Anybody have their own definition?
I believe it's what God's purpose is, I don't know what you call it, spirit, whatever God's purpose is in His spirit.
Okay.
Well, when you think about, say a person, I don't know, I'm just thinking that somebody says, well, they have a will to live.
Okay.
All right. They mean that they're putting everything they have into.
So it's the desire.
Yeah, their desire.
Okay.
So, and when you put that with God, then you could say God's desires for life, maybe.
Okay. Any other ways of looking at it? No, because these are big. Because what did you say, Ruth?
The purpose, God's purpose.
Okay, purpose. So His will, His purpose. And
desire.
So it's His will, His purpose, His desire. Anything else?
I don't know. When I think of God's will, I think of perfection, too. Like it's everything that's supposed to be. It's perfection. It's not like my will could be damaged or flawed, but His is never.
Would any other thoughts? To plan? His plan, okay. Yeah, I wouldn't look, it doesn't have to be biblical, just what will the will is, but it's the same thing. His plan, His purpose.
Direction.
His desire. And there's another one, it's His pleasure. All these things, the definition, to kind of try to put it, will can be described as a desire or pleasure. But it's a determination with an active choice with a specific purpose or decree. Does that help? Yeah? Will, just the definition of will, can be described as a desire or pleasure. But it's a determination with an active choice. So it means he's proactive in it. He's advancing his will with a specific purpose and decree. So God has desires. God has pleasures. God has a specific purpose, but it's all with a purpose, and it's all his choice, right? So it's important to understand, just to settle that God's will for your life is his pleasure, it's his desire, and it's his purpose. It's what we've been put here for, to fellowship with him. Right? And ultimately, that's where he wanted to interact with him, to walk with him. And I believe that this is the verse Rose was talking about in John, where it says, this is Jesus. Some of these words that Jesus said are if you take your time and listen to him and really think about them, really, sometimes blow your mind. But he says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will." But the will of him who sent me. It's important to realize that Jesus' heart was connected with the Father's in everything he did. He tells us that he did nothing on his own. And all this was because it's the Father's will. Determination and pleasure. And yes, they're one. So they're not going to disagree. So the Father in Jesus' heart is the same here. But he said he didn't come to do his own will, but the Father whom sent me, and he says, "This is the will of the Father, that the Father, all he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up on the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day." God's purpose and pleasure and determination for mankind and desire and his will is that all men would come to repentance. Right? That none should perish, but all come to repentance. That's what it says in 2 Peter. Right? That's his ultimate, that's his pleasure. That's why it says he takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Right? But he does delight in the death of the saints. When we choose to deny ourselves. And there is a promise, because Jesus even said in Mark 3, he says, "Whoever does the will of God is my brother, my sister, and my mother." You see, because God's ultimate plan is that we're a family, right? And so that if, as we believe and walk in his will, we become part of that family. We all know these things, right? I hope. Or we're learning to know, or hopefully getting better. But there's some places in this Scripture that talk about sanctification specifically. When we talk about the will of God, we want to remember 1 Thessalonians, which is, you know, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing," right? "For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." It's just plain, simple, and if you want to look at what's the will of God for my life, be thankful. Rejoice. And when you're walking in that, you're walking in his will. That's a simple one. But that's his will for you. But in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 and 4, we've got a lot of verses, so if you want to flip there, you can. I can wait, or if you want me to read them. He says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, and that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor." God's will for your life is sanctification. God's desire for you is to be sanctified. God's pleasure is to see you sanctified. So what the heck does that mean? What does it mean to be sanctified? God's will is for you to be sanctified. So, set apart, okay? Anything else?
Complete.
It's a completing work. This is God's will for your life, your sanctification. What does that mean to you? What is it to sanctify? To separate? To set apart? The word in general sense is to cleanse, to purify, to make holy. And you do it by, and it's the action part of it, is to separate, set apart, or appoint to a holy, sacred use. So what the scriptures are saying and what the Lord's saying is, my desire and my will for your life is for you to be sanctified. The way that takes place is to separate yourself and to agree with God. First off, we need to agree, right? I know it's about salvation, but it is about our sanctification. And as we walk with Him in our glorification, as we stand before Him. Right? The Lord has purposed in us and placed it upon His will and His desire that none should perish, that all should come to repentance. And as we're doing that, that we sanctify ourselves. That we make every decision in God's will, right, has a design and a purpose. Right? So as we sanctify ourselves, do we not have to have a purpose behind it? What am I setting myself apart to? Or,
to will and to do His good pleasure.
Right.
Whatever you determine.
Whatever you choose to set yourself apart to, that's, you know, it could be good, could be bad. Mm-hmm. But He's telling, because it tells you, He's given us His word that we've sanctified, that we abstain from sexual immorality. So something has to do when we walk in a place of sanctification, it's going to work out issues of sexual immorality. There's a lot of that in this world. Probably a lot more than you actually think of. But also that each of you, so He wants to set you apart so that each of you know. The Father wants to set you apart unto Himself so that you can know how to possess your vessel. Or simply, how to walk with Him while you live on this earth. He set you apart unto Himself so that He can reveal to you how to walk. That's how I look at this. Simply. We don't have to make it too difficult, because if we just keep that simple, when I'm separated and... See, I have to set in my mind that God has said that I'm holy. Right? So, I have to want that. I have to want His will. I have to desire His will. Because I'm not a robot. He won't force me. He will not make us be. It's a desire, it's a purpose of our heart that we choose to agree with God to sanctify ourselves. That we purpose in our heart. Daniel, when he was taken in to Nebuchadnezzar, they were given all the treats. What was Daniel's main motivation? They could have all the food of all and trained in all the wisdom of the world. What was his main mindset? Do you guys remember? He purposed in his heart not to defile himself from God. And that basically what sanctifying, and what it said there, if you sanctified and that had to possess your vessel. And I say a lot of these things and it sounds like a work. But our work is just to agree. It's God who's working, right? He's the one drawing you. No one can come to the Father unless someone draws, unless the Lord draws them, right? So none of you are here because you woke up and said, oh gee, I really want to just get to know Jesus better. It's Him working in you to draw you, to draw you to Himself, to separate you from the things of the world. I mean, Minnie's favorite verse, right? You're not a little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Pleasure. Will. It's interesting though that many times, you know, going through your day, do you struggle with that throughout the day to sanctify, to set apart the Lord in your heart as you're walking throughout the day all day? Is it a struggle? Which I think it probably is. Because that's why it says to do it, to set it, to purpose in your heart. There's things we need to do. But a lot of times when we find that the Lord's calling us to something, He's calling us away from something. And so to forget and leave something, we need to cleave, right? So He says in Colossians 3, set your mind on things above, right? Not on things of the earth. You see, I got to look towards, I got to set my mind here so I'm not focused on Him. So I'm not focused on earthly things. So when that's a willful choice. I can get caught in my brain and have all this stuff come up, like what I got to do today and all these things that distract, that we can take the time to say, Lord, help me. Settle my mind before You. Reveal, show me. I mean, it might be the same things being said, but just to take the time to settle, to rest before Him, and to hear what He has to say. And Jesus even prayed it in John 17, right? Sanctify them by Your truth. Your word is truth. Guys, if we want to be set apart and just hear what the Lord has for us, we just got to open up the Word. He tells us that He's going to separate, He's going to show you how to think. The Scriptures are given by inspiration of God to profit for correction, for reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. As we sit and rest and trust Him. So He gives us the answers. When we find the answer, we always find out it's all found in Him, in relationship, and walking with Him. But I have to agree. I'm not going to sit around. He's given me all that pertains to life and godliness. I have to have a desire for it. I should have a desire for Him to know Him. So He says, sanctify them by Your truth. Your word is truth. As You sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. How was Christ sent into the world? Why? What motivated the sending? It's key. Exactly. As the Father sent me with love, the purpose of love, the will, because that's who He is, I've also sent them in the world. So basically, we're going to learn that the same reason why Jesus came is the same reason why we're still here to be sent. For His work. And this is why He says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. You ever thought about that? Why do I set myself apart to the Lord? Because the person's sitting next to you. Not for you. Completely. I set myself apart of the Lord, so I start to learn to deny myself and not care about me. As the Scriptures say, consider one another more highly. Consider yourself living. These are the things that we're working in Christ's life. Who is who He is. He humbled Himself. He became obedient to the point of death, to the cross. He came out of love. He set Himself apart because He loved you. And it's the same motivation that love should bring us to a place where we want to set ourselves apart unto Him so that the people around us can be blessed. Now Jesus, when we walk in that aspect, you're fulfilling both your will, His will for you, and His will through you. Right? Because His first and foremost pleasure is for you to walk in His will. So Jesus did, those are the things that please the Father. This is my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear Him. Right? And as He was doing that, we know it's in love, but He came as a benefit of others. And sometimes we just need to settle in our hearts, but there's choices we have to make in our lives that we have to set ourselves apart for the benefit of others. And not just consider ourselves. And then He said, I don't pray, and this was, I like this verse, I don't pray for these alone, but for those who will believe in Me through their word. Well, humbled that you may be one, that they all may be one as you, Father, are me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. He said he doesn't pray for them alone, but do you guys understand that the same things that the Lord said to the disciples are the same things he's saying to us, right? And we only have this message because they spoke. If they didn't go and tell us or write it down, we wouldn't have this. Right? So they did their part. They surrendered to the Lord and walked in his will, and we're better off for it. They all died for it. It wasn't completely for their own selves. They were all martyred and killed to bring glory to God. So sometimes you have to lay down that life for the benefit of others just because it's his will. But not just to say I did God's will, but because out of a motivation of love, that you see the love that he has for us and it motivates you to love those around you. First Peter tells us to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts, in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Peter's saying, make the choice. Make a decision. Purpose in your heart. Out of pleasure, not out of compulsion, out of love. Because I can do all these things without love, it promises me nothing. Right? We always have to keep that in mind. I can do all. You can walk in the will of God in some aspects and completely not leave. Just because you're trying to do and work on an effort and it's all about you. So we just need to be careful, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts. Set him apart, set aside. With a purpose. Daniel, we're told, we'd be purpose, he never said that. But then in Acts, it says when he came and he had seen, in Acts 11, the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them, all that with purpose of heart they should continue with the Lord. So it's just to encourage one another to continue with the Lord, to purpose in your heart, to make that decision. And as we do these things, I do believe that the Lord's going to bring us to a place that we start to understand 1 John 3:2, beloved, now we are children of God. It's not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. And you see, so as we're seeking after him, we're setting ourselves apart. Christ has set himself apart unto us. He still has. Guess what? The scripture tells us that he's in you. Right? That you're not alone, you're not an orphan. And he's just waiting for you to interact with him, to seek him. And as you see him, you'll be like him. And just having that hope within you purifies yourself just as he is. Pure, meaning that just that you have a desire and a hope that when I see Christ, I'm going to be like him. I think that's scriptural, right? Being in his image when you see him face to face. And then we come up to, but it also, this is how, like what Rose was saying, it's God who works in you will do for his good pleasure, right? But before that, it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. It's God who works into you for his good pleasure. He started the work. It's his good pleasure to work in you. We need to yield. We need to turn around, set ourselves apart unto him and receive. Why? Not for our own benefit. For this nice, pretty world we live in, everything's going great in, right? We live in a fallen world. And we need his strength. We need his power. We need to walk in his light, trusting Him, resting in Him, and enjoying Him. See, as we walk with Him and desire Him, He's making that work and doing that work in you, that at some point, sometime, somebody could look at you and you want to tell them you're a Christian, that they can know that we're Christians for the love we have one for another. Psalm 37, you could read the whole thing, but there's a trust in the Lord, and this is 3-8 verses, and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to Him, and trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as a light, and your justice as noonday. Rest in the Lord, wait patiently for Him, and do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret, it only causes harm. It's interesting that He gives you instructions and don't get yourself all worked up because you're going to hurt yourself. Don't do that. That's going to hurt. Mom and Dad did that a lot, right? He says, your Father in heaven, saying, don't get all worked up. It's only going to hurt you. It only causes harm. Wait patiently, seek Him. And when it says that He'll give you the desires, He's going to change your desires to meet His desires so that they're one. And you can walk in His will and His pleasure. And any thoughts? That's all I got. Yes?
I'm going to give you the scripture. I have one of my top four. This is kind of top when you were saying that. This is Acts 17:28. And it says, for in Him we live and move and have our being. That's also some of your poets have said, for we are also offspring. One of my favorites.
I do think sometimes that we as believers are waiting for this emotional, tingly feeling to go walk out what God's called us to. But He's already empowered us. He's given us His Word. And I don't need to have a feeling behind it. I just need to go by faith knowing that it's His will. It's His desire. It's His pleasure. It's His pleasure for me to go out and step out of my comfort zone and share the love that God has for me with people. I'm sitting here. I don't like sitting in front of the lake. Can't stand it. I'd say standing, but sitting. So I'd like to work on it. But see, you know, but the Lord does different things, and I don't know why. He has a sense of humor. I know that. He likes to speak through donkeys. I'll be nice today. But it's His pleasure to give you His kingdom. Now enjoy it. Walk in it. Rest in Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You haven't left us here to figure these things out on our own. You haven't left us here to forge, to even do it in our own strength. We just thank You, Father, that it's Your purpose and Your pleasure, Your goodwill to give us the kingdom. And as You do, Lord, You don't leave us here as orphans. Give us Your Spirit that we can cry out, Abba, Father, and know You more. And we thank You. And Father, I just pray that You would put a hunger in us and a desire to separate ourselves as we unto You. We just thank You in Jesus' name.